mindful eating guidance and tips brought to you by Lighter Life Fast.
Do we actually think about the food we eat every day? This time of year is crunch time for dieters up and down the country as we enter a new year following what may have been an overindulgent festive period. Whether your New Year's resolution is a healthier lifestyle or if you're interested in mindfulness and in particular mindful eating, we're sharing stories today that delve a little bit deeper. Mindful eating can, with a few small changes, make a seemingly sizable change to how your body digests and manages the food you eat. Joining me in the studio is Jenna Hope, a mindful eating and nutrition expert, in to share some of her simple mindfulness hints and tips with us. We'll talk through and explore the benefits of eating more intuitively and find out how simple it can be to build mindful eating into our lives. Thanks for joining me, Jenna.
Thanks for having me.
So just tell us, what is mindful eating? I can't say I'm exactly an expert on this, so I think I need to be told.
Yep, so mindful eating is the practice of allowing an open-minded awareness of how the food we choose to eat affects our body, mind, and also the way in which we feel. And I think it's really important that we start to identify how foods make us feel. You know, so often clients will come in and after lunch they'll explain that they're feeling quite tired, quite bloated, quite lethargic. And they think that's quite normal just because it's happening to everyone around them, or they'll talk to someone about it in the office and everyone's eating in the same way, which is leading them to feel like this, and actually they don't realise how food is really affecting them.
Well, I think people get stuck in their ways. It's like the example you've mentioned there, you know, you go out for lunch, say you work in an office or something like that, you pop round to your local little supermarket or something, you buy a meal deal, you're used to it, you get used to feeling that way. Is that something a lot of people will say, you know, I just don't know how to change my habits?
Absolutely, people really don't know what to do, and I think sometimes they just need that spark of interest or they need that education. And when I start to talk to them about mindful eating and we say, okay, maybe it's actually not about what you're eating but how you're eating, and I started to poke and ask some questions about, okay, well, you know, how are you eating this, when are you eating, are you rushing between meetings, or are you sitting down at your desk and doing it whilst you're working? And so much of the time the answer is yes, I'm actually not really concentrating on what I'm eating, I'm just eating to overcome that hunger and because it's lunchtime and I know that I'm supposed to eat lunch at, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, etc., whatever time it is. And it's so interesting when you start to change people's habits. It's not, you know, I don't necessarily always change exactly the food that they're eating. It can simply be some tips and tricks to help them eat a bit more mindfully. And the results that come back are just amazing.
So it's just a case of maybe sort of slowing down a bit and appreciating what you're actually eating.
Yeah, it really is. And the way in which this works and what the way which I try and explain it to clients is, if you imagine that you start the whole digestion process before you even eat the food. So the cephalic phase, which is the initial stage of digestion, occurs actually from the brain registering the food that you're going to eat through smells, through thinking about the food, through, you know, preparing food as well. So some of the research that came back from Lighter Life Fast was that people spend 44 minutes a day actually thinking about food and 48 minutes eating it.
Sound like little numbers to me.
But if you think about, you know, preparation time, and you really spend that time to prepare the food, to buy the food, to think about what you're going to make, technically it should be, you know, a lot longer than that, especially when you think about sort of making dinner and stuff. So when we start to think about food, prepare food, smell the food, that's when we start this cephalic phase of digestion. And during that time, that's when we start to secrete enzymes in our mouth, so saliva in particular, our digestive juices, so things that are going to help to break down the food. And if we're not really focusing on that and we're actually, you know, away at the laptop doing our emails or something, we miss that whole first phase of digestion, which, as you can imagine, then starts to stimulate a little bit of a knock-on effect and means that your food is not digested effectively.
Well, there's clearly solid science behind that. I think when a lot of people hear someone say mindful, which to me personally is quite a new term, I've only really heard it in the past sort of year, 2 years, something like that, I think people associate it with sort of yogis and, you know, people being zen and trying to meditate and things like that. But with mindful eating, it seems to be, a lot of it is, it's grounded in science, isn't it? You were saying some words that I don't understand just then.
Yeah, so I think there is quite a lot of science behind it. That is one of the theories. I think also the fact that it takes 20 minutes for the gut to tell the brain that actually you're full. So essentially, if
that
you're
rings a bell,
if you're eating really quickly, then the chances are that you eat within that 20-minute time frame and you actually don't feel full up. Whereas if you take time and you monitor what you're eating and you really try and think about it and eat slowly and almost respect the food. I know that might sound quite strange, like, why do I need to respect food? But it's about being really aware. Then all of a sudden you get signals to your brain that actually you're full and you don't necessarily need to finish the plate, or you won't be on the hunt for something else as soon as you've like gulped it down.
Yes.
Another thing is talking about sort of gulping food down is that people often, when you eat mindlessly, you don't chew properly.
No.
So you sort of gulp it down
Exactly.
Again, then you're still not going to be digesting the food properly, and that's also going to affect the signals that are being sent to the brain as well.
And the key is, this isn't sort of trend dieting, isn't it? Is it? It's not a case of having to cut specific things out. It's not a case of having to add something in. It's paying attention to the food that you eat and the way you eat it.
Yeah, it's really not a trend diet. It's really not about cutting things out, like you say, because I think people have sort of had enough of that.
Yeah.
You know, we've been going on about removing things and cutting things out for years on end, and clearly it's not really the way to go. And I think this is a really great new approach that more people should be aware of. It's something that everyone can do. Yes, admittedly, it takes time. It can be more difficult. And it's something that we need to train ourselves to do as well. So you have to work hard, you know, to do this. But it shouldn't be something that you feel like you have to do overnight. It can be done mm-hmm. over a prolonged period of time. And actually, I always recommend trying to start by working on your snacks.
Yeah.
So rather than munching away at a snack whilst you're, again, like I say, like on the emails, then really take time out to eat that snack. Focus
Just
on
take
it.
Take 5 minutes to walk away sit down somewhere else.
Yeah. Think about where that came from, how it's going to make you feel, why you're looking forward to it, that your hunger levels before your snack, your hunger levels after your snack, so you can really start to understand how beneficial food can be for you. That's essentially what it's all about. And the research that was carried out by Light Alive Fast showed that TV, social media and family were the greatest distractions.
Guilty. Very guilty of that.
And
I can't remember the last time I ate dinner without having the TV on.
And you're amongst a lot of people doing it. And people don't realise, they get into a routine and habit and it's like, right, I'm going to eat my dinner and I'm going to catch up with the latest show on Netflix or whatever it is. And actually that's...
described my living room for evening.
That's where we've got the problem. So I really think that if you can keep your eating time to just you and the food, and also to a specific place. So of course, you know, we all eat in different places all the time, mm-hmm. but say for example you're in the home, try and keep it to the kitchen if you can, you know, try and sit down and eat a meal, and that's fine. If you have to sit on the sofa, then you can sit on the sofa, but try not to put the TV on with that,
mm-hmm.
or try not to scroll. You know, we live in a world where we're just scrolling constantly. We scroll whilst we're walking, whilst we're on the tube, mm-hmm. whilst we're going to bed, like we're constantly scrolling. And I think it's really important to take that time out and take a break and really focus on the food that we are eating.
So for people like me, like we say, who do just sit on the couch with their dinner and late at night and just shovel it all down, you know, what are the sort of detrimental effects? I figure it's a case, like we said, you know, 20 minutes later, you feel really full. But is it a case of I'm then just eating what's on my plate as opposed to how much I should be eating?
Yes, so the research showed that I think around 27% of the respondents felt comfortable enough to record exactly what they ate that day. And that's really quite worrying to think that we're eating that mindlessly that we don't even really realise mm-hmm. what we're eating. So like you say, the risks are that there is a greater risk of overeating, that you do feel unsatisfied, so therefore you are much more likely to sort of get up and go and look for something else to eat, which again, if weight management is your goal, is not really going to be particularly helpful. Also with portion size as well. So sometimes you might sort of overpile your plate or you've probably cooked a bit too much and you
Definitely
think you're...
Definitely done that so many times.
You'll pour it on the plate. And normally when we're eating mindfully, we'll be eating and we can look at the amount that we're eating and we can see that how that's affecting us, and we're much more likely to feel full and satisfied. But when we're eating mindlessly... Mm. That's where we sort of finish the plate and we don't realise, and you've massively overeaten way more than you would need and than you particularly would if you were eating mindlessly. So there's some research in the literature as well to suggest that eating mindfully but with education is really particularly beneficial for weight management as well. So I think it's really about educating yourself on healthier choices and on mindful eating and how you can, some strategies that you can put in place in order to help you eat more mindfully.
But some people might say, you know, I get home from work at say 7 o'clock at night, I just want to bang something in the microwave, sit down on the couch and relax. It feels like it feels like it might add a lot of time to somebody's routine. You know what I mean? But so there must be a few little things that people can just pay attention to here and there, especially if you live a busy life.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not about spending hours and hours. And as I mentioned, you know, it's great if you can prepare the food, and it's great if you can get all those smells and those sort of aromas around you. Equally, that's not realistic for everyone, and I mm-hmm. completely understand that. So the small things that you can do are simply removing the distractions. So just removing the phone, and I think putting it outside of the room or turning it off so that it's not in your way. And even if you have to sometimes set a reminder on your phone, you know, it's going to be dinner time, turn this off, or don't make sure you're not scrolling, make sure that you don't have newspapers lying around. So all the research and the education that Lighter Life Fast are putting out there is really important to help people understand the importance and how mindful eating works. You know, often if we're told do something, we're less likely to do it. Whereas if we're told why we should mm-hmm. do something, then we're much more likely to engage in it and carry it on as well.
So let's talk about the kind of differences in, say, the way people get hungry. A lot of people won't necessarily understand the premise that they aren't physically hungry. Like we said before, some people will just kind of go, oh, it's lunchtime, need to go and get lunch now. What would you recommend to people who can't quite differentiate between when they need to eat and when they think they should eat?
Yeah, this is so true. And I think a lot of people now are starting to eat, like you say, just because it's lunchtime and they should. Or
it's 1 o'clock, so it's lunchtime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or because they're feeling quite stressed. That's another big one that I see a lot.
Yep.
People tend to go for the chocolate, the sweets, the crisps. And I know that the research that was conducted by Lighter Life Fast showed that chocolate, sweets and crisps were the foods that were much more likely to be overeaten. So we really need to start to educate people, to teach them about their hunger and fullness. So get them to check in and think, are they actually hungry or are they eating because it's lunchtime?
Mm.
And I guess this is what mindfulness can really help you with, because it helps you to really focus on the food and think about the food in such detail that you actually start to think, well, am I hungry and how's this going to make me feel? And if you realise that actually you're not hungry, is that going to make you feel satisfied in the way that it would if you were hungry? And then you start to think, oh, well, maybe actually I'm not hungry enough to eat this, or maybe I'm just eating for the sake of it.
And it kind of could be that some people have made that response kind of Pavlovian in their head, in that, like, oh, I'm really stressed, suddenly I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And that's not actually the case.
100%. That's a really, really good point. So people tend to eat when they're stressed because, except without going too sciencey on you, when you do eat when you're stressed, you dampen the release of cortisol, which is the stress hormone.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, it's actually a physiological response that you feel less stressed from doing that. And what we really need to start to break is that relationship between eating when you're stressed and actually really starting to understand the real hunger and eating because you need to be full, or eating because you need energy, rather than just eating for the sake of it mindlessly. Or because there's a lot of, actually, when it comes to eating, there's a lot of links between cues as well. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're someone who, when you start cooking, you always pour a glass of wine, all of a sudden those cues start to become really ingrained in you. And we can do this with drinks as well, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be just around food. So we start to get that bottle of wine out because, oh, we always cook with wine. Yeah. Or when you pass a certain coffee shop, oh, well, you always go and pick up a croissant on there, or you always go and pick up a flapjack, or whatever it may be. And actually, it's about really breaking those habits and starting to think, am I hungry? And understanding the relationship that you have with food, rather than just mindlessly eating. You know, we make hundreds and hundreds of decisions about food a day that we don't even really know that we're making or think about.
And it's like you say, you know, you're taking your mind off one thing, but you're not putting your mind fully on the other thing. So you're sort of making both things worse, I guess. Like, it's not really helping your stress because you're still stressed. You haven't tackled anything. You haven't eaten properly what you've eaten. You've just downed a Mars bar or something to just take your mind off something.
Yeah, it's really true. And then, so you down that Mars bar, and then a few minutes later, that cortisol is then released again because you are in a stressed state.
Suddenly,
so you
bang,
think,
it's back.
Oh, well, psychologically, you think, I need something else to kind of get rid of that stress. So you go back to that. This is where you end up massively overeating. And I think the research really, really showed the link between the sweets, chocolate and crisps, and the ability to overeat them. And it's just, we need to start understanding when we need these foods and when it's okay to eat them. Because, you know, it's not about never eating these foods. It's not about never enjoying it. It's just about understanding when and where is an appropriate place, and the reason behind why you're choosing to eat them at that time.
So is this something somebody has to do constantly to make a change?
I think it's something at the beginning that we should try and put a little bit more effort in. As I say, though, not all at once. Start by focusing on a snack, then move to one meal, then move to two meals. There will definitely be times where it might not be feasible. We have to be realistic. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world and you might be rushing between meetings all the time and you just don't have that time to sit down and take, you know, half an hour out or whatever it is to eat. But the times that you do, then you should absolutely max out on that and optimise it. And if you are educated and you understand mindful eating and you know some of the practices around it, then that can really help you do it so that it almost becomes you start doing it naturally. And also you start enjoying it. You know, there's a lot of research to suggest that when people eat more mindfully, they actually feel much more satisfied from their food. So at that point, when you feel that satisfaction from food, you want that. You know, we all want to feel satisfied after eating a meal.
I have to slow down on the couch now, sitting there just scrambling things down my face, watching Netflix, like we say. And it's like you say, you do end up 20 minutes later, you think, oh, I'm fine now, I could try and do something. And then 20 minutes later, it's, suddenly it hits.
Yeah, it you know hits I mean? You.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn that TV off. That's your challenge for this evening.
So just give us a few more little tips then. I know we've been over a few, but let's have a look at some more sort of in-depth things that people can do.
Yeah, so some really simple things that people can do are to try and put your knife and fork down between each mouthful.
Really?
Yeah. It sounds really difficult.
Just to give yourself those few extra seconds to
to digest,
what you're doing.
Process what you're doing. I think people who are first starting to get into it and they want to take it really quite seriously, what they can really do is you sit there, you look at the food, you actually think about where it came from, how it makes you feel, why you're looking forward to it, and you can start to actually write these things down. So that then that gets you into the process and it trains you to start thinking in this way. So you're really focusing on that food and the different flavours and the smells and, you know, almost where it grew, you know, what where the vegetables have come from and the process that they've done to get, that they've been through to get to your plate. And then you start to really savour those flavours, look at the food and really register it. And that's why I think putting the knife and fork down in between can help you just slow the process down. It really helps you to enjoy it. And it is challenging, but when you get used to it, you naturally start to eat slower anyway. So that's a really good trick when it comes to mindful eating. Again, like I say, just remove everything and try and stick to key areas of eating. So try and stick to, say, the kitchen or the sofa if that's where your designated eating spot is. You know, I really try and urge people to move food away from all areas of the home. Yeah. People eat in bed now, and I think that we should really keep that divide and to take time out and make it more acceptable at work. Say to people around you, I'm taking a lunch break.
Yeah.
Encourage other people to do the same and start to spread the message, because if you're all doing it together, A, it's going to be so much more, it's going to be much easier to do, and B, people are going to accept it more as well.
Yeah, it becomes the norm.
Yeah. So it was only, say, 30 years ago where everyone had a lunch break. And it was obscure if you sort of worked through that. It was like, no, you've worked up until lunch. You take your lunch break. You enjoy your lunch. And that's what, you know, we used to do. And now people aren't doing that. They're thinking, I've got too much. I've got too many emails on the go. People coming at me from all angles. I don't have time. I can't. And I think we need to take the culture back to accepting that people are going to have a lunch break. It's really quite important.
Entirely agree with that. I feel terrible. Like, literally everything you said, I do the opposite. I often skip breakfast, things like that. I always feel bad for skipping breakfast, for example, but surely there is a way of sort of incorporating that. Do you know what I mean? Of making a difference, even if you haven't got time for one meal, to then do it later on, maybe?
Yeah.
Do you have to eat before a certain time at night, you know?
So people, everyone's so different.
Yeah.
Everyone is so, so different. And people often say to me, should I be eating breakfast? You know, what time should I finish eating? What should I eat then? What should I do then? And they want to have the exact specific, like, the right answer.
Yeah.
And there really isn't one way. You know, we're all so, so different. And I think if it works for you and you feel fine skipping breakfast, then by all means, that's absolutely fine. We
have, feel better now.
Yeah. At least I've made you feel good about one thing. We're all being told all the time, you know, you must eat breakfast. And I really think that if someone feels better without breakfast and they're eating a healthy diet and they're making sure that they're getting their nutrients in and they're not, you know, missing out on too much, then it's fine. Sometimes breakfast just doesn't sit well with everyone and you need to listen to your body and what makes you feel good.
So it's not necessarily about worrying about the guilt of it. You know, people have slip ups. You might have had a really bad day or something like that. Got some really bad emails at work or something. But it's about sort of then thinking about that and how you can react to it, maybe.
Yes, of course. You know, we're all human and everyone has those days where okay, it might not necessarily be what you planned, or it might not have been what you envisaged the day to turn out like, and you probably ate a bit more than you wanted to, or you went for the wrong type, or the foods that you wouldn't necessarily have gone for otherwise. And I think it's really important that you come back from that and you don't think, oh, the day's ruined. You know, if that happens in the afternoon, the day's ruined, that's it. I'm just going to sit on the sofa and eat a tub of ice cream, because ultimately that's not really helpful for anyone.
You could end up snowballing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, come back from that and think, okay, I've done this, it's fine. You know what? I ate that. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to wake up and feel great and look after myself and go for a dinner that's really high in vegetables and really healthy and make myself feel good again. Because ultimately, you thinking that you've sort of ruined the day, as it were, a lot of people do think like that, isn't going to be beneficial. And actually, the effects that can have, that you can sort of come off the back of that, will just be that you end, that you go for more chocolate cake, or you end up, you go up, you go picking kind of poorer food choices that you don't necessarily want. And it's really important that you acknowledge that, feel okay, okay, you're over that now, and you're going to come back and feel great and really get back to nourishing, using food to nourish you. Because, you know, we're all human and it does happen sometimes. So,
of course,
you just need to pick yourself up and carry on.
Not worry about it so much.
Absolutely, yeah.
So one of the things I read about when we were preparing for this was intermittent fasting, which can be quite good for you, can't it?
Yes, I think it's a really interesting emerging area. There's a lot of research that's really coming out about it. And there's different ways of doing it as well. So I think that's really great. You know, people can find what works for them. I know that the research around this was conducted by Light Alive Fast, and they do sort of days on and days off. So they have their smart days and their fast days, which sort of requires you to eat less calories on certain days and more calories on other days. I think that's really interesting and supports people through it as well. So sometimes you need that education around it, particularly when you're starting to get into something. So you can head to their website, Light Alive Fast, for some more information on that.
Thanks for your time, Jenna. That's mindful eating expert and nutritionist Jenna Hope. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.